The scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Yep. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What are you most looking forward to doing once you're vaccinated? This is the question everyone is asking right now. For some people, getting vaccinated is a huge deal. It means being able to see family and friends that they haven't seen in over a year. For other people, getting vaccinated is an opportunity to travel again. For a few other people, getting vaccinated is an opportunity to do things like get a pedicure or your hair done or your brows done. As I read through our scripture passage for this Maundy Thursday, I began to imagine how Jesus might answer this question. Let's say Jesus lives in a universe where COVID-19 is happening and a vaccine is available and he's vaccinated. Jesus, what is the first thing you're going to do when you're vaccinated? "That's easy," I see Jesus saying in my head. "I will go and I will wash my disciples' feet. And I will spend a little extra time washing the feet of the one who is about to betray me." Our scripture passage for this evening centers around Jesus' greatest commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we had to choose one word to describe Jesus' life and ministry, it would be love. Love God and love each other. If we claim to follow Jesus, then love must characterize what we do as well. What's so interesting to me about this scripture passage and Jesus' commandment about love is it's actually a reinterpretation of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. You all remember the Ten Commandments, right? These commandments teach us the do's and don'ts of how we are to love God and how we are to love our neighbors. We are to love God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And we are not to do things that will make it impossible for us to love our neighbors. Things like murder and theft and adultery. The Ten Commandments are really great legal codes. They are a great way for us to put boundaries around what is and what is not acceptable human behavior. But they don't always account for the messiness of the human condition. So Jesus comes and he broadens their application. Let's take loving God and loving your neighbor, for example. I think we can all agree that we should treat our neighbors with respect. But let's say I have a neighbor that lives below me that likes to throw house parties on Saturday evenings, going into the wee hours of Sunday morning. Is it loving for me to call the police to break up the party? Or should I instead just stomp around really loudly at 5:30 on Sunday morning when I'm getting up and annoy him the way he's annoyed me? In our text for this morning, Jesus is clear. We are to love one another. I think this commandment is a call to love even when it's hard. It's a call to love Judas after he betrays us to the Roman authorities. It's a call to love Peter after he denies our existence, not once, but three times. Christian faithfulness means loving one another, even and especially when we are suffering, when we choose to love unlovable people. I think loving unlovable people is the true marker of Christian community. This unconditional love is what separates the church from, say, a Sunday morning yoga class. We say all the time that the world will know we are Christians by our love. But we're able to love one another because we've experienced the love of Jesus. We've experienced the love of Jesus when someone else has embodied this love in our lives. When somebody has taken this abstract idea and turned it into concrete acts of love in the world. Tonight, I want to give you one example of what this type of love could look like. In January 2021, Shippick Pharmacy, this is a pharmacy located in Montgomery County, so a suburb of Philadelphia, was approved to administer COVID vaccines. The pharmacy is run by a young pharmacist that his patients call Dr. Mac. Under Pennsylvania's vaccine distribution guidelines, Dr. Mack needed to vaccinate the most at risk in his community for developing COVID complications. So in this group, we're talking about the elderly. We're also talking about people with pre-existing medical conditions. And these populations of people are not the easiest to vaccinate. Some don't have internet access. Some were worried how this vaccine would affect their pre-existing conditions. And children and young people especially really hate getting shots, and now they would have to get two. To pull this off, Dr. Mack knew that he was going to need a village. See, Dr. Mack owns a small pharmacy. There are just two pharmacists and two pharmacy interns. So he recruited and he trained dozens of volunteers to answer the phone and help residents without access to technology schedule appointments. As January came to a close, Dr. Mack realized that he was going to have to start making house calls if he wanted to reach the people in his community who needed vaccines. Y'all remember what January and February 2021 were like. We got a lot of snow and ice and freezing rain, so many people were physically unable to get to the pharmacy. So in February, Dr. Mack dusted off an old Halloween costume, his Superman costume, and he proceeded to drive through the frozen suburbs of Montgomery County to deliver vaccines to homebound residents. The reason he dressed up as Superman was so that his patients who had dementia, as well as young people who were scared of getting the vaccine, were immediately put at ease because they recognized Superman. Vaccinating his community has come at a great personal cost to this young pharmacist. His wife is 7 months pregnant with their first child. As a health precaution, he's been living with his parents, and he only sees his wife every other weekend. The days are long, and the stress is heavy. But Dr. Mack wants to get as many people in his community as possible vaccinated before his son is born in May. I share this story with you this evening because I think it's a good example of what love can look like in the world. All it takes is one person figuring out how to do one act of love well. I think as Christians, we need to be setting the example of what this type of love looks like. And sometimes we think too small and we limit our acts of love to things that happen in the church or with our church family. And when we do this, we aren't really following Jesus's commandment to love God and love our neighbor. If we take seriously our desire to follow Jesus, then we need to participate in these concrete acts of love in the world. Coming to church every Sunday isn't enough. Visiting your friend or your church member when they're in the hospital isn't enough. We have to model the sacrificial love of Jesus in our communities. Friends, I think Maundy Thursday challenges us to imagine how God is calling us to love our neighbors. Now, most of us do not have the skill set required to vaccinate our communities, but all of us are going to be asked to love the unlovable people in our world. Not because we want to be recognized, not even so that the world will know we are Christians, but in response to the love of God that has grabbed hold of us and that will never let us go. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.